concurring with Mr. Reed. Were there any questions from Mr. Thaler or Ms. Bandage?
No.
Cross.
Was that no? You don't have any?
No.
No.
I have no redirect, so I guess we're done.
All right.
Oh, I have one exhibit after Mr. Reed.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay. So now you're free to go.
All right.
Oh.
Thank you, Mr.
That's it.
Thank you. Thanks for waiting.
Sure. No problem.
Okay.
My pleasure.
And that's it for rebuttal. Is that correct?
Yes.
In terms of witnesses,
other than
yes.
The exhibit.
Yes. All right. Let's go to the exhibit now.
Okay.
This be marked as 317.
This exhibit is it's getting toward the end of the day, specifically in rebuttal to the testimony of Jessica Brand, who was talking about outreach. And I had asked her about and she was testifying that it had been overwhelmingly great outreach. And I had asked her about whether it would have been good to have lots of copies of the DEIS at public libraries, and she said yes. And I asked her whether she knew how many there were, and she didn't. So this exhibit specifically relates to that. It comes from two documents that are exhibits that are already in evidence. One is the draft EIS page, Roman numeral 11, and the second page is the final EIS, also page 11. And the third is taken from the Seattle Public Library website that shows all of the, on a map, all of the libraries in the city. So the cover page here from the DEIS says that the draft EIS was available at one public library, Seattle Public Library. And that was what this exhibit is, to show that the outreach to public libraries that Ms. Brand thought should have happened or did happen, actually didn't. That's what it's for. That's the purpose.
Are you responding, Mr.
If I may have an opportunity. It's the first two pages are already in the record. I think more generally we have a different recollection of Ms. Brand's testimony than what Ms. Bendish just communicated. Ms. Bendish did ask Ms. Brand about which libraries they were located in. She said she wasn't sure. Ms. Bendish showed her the page of the draft EIS. She said she wasn't sure. This is not rebuttal. This is expanding on it. And at the end of the day, I think it's also irrelevant. I'm not sure what legal requirement Ms. Bendish would point to as this being relevant to the adequacy of anything related to the CIS.
I'm not asking the legal, but I'm not challenging what the legal requirement is.
Help me understand. We've got two pages that are already in the record.
They are in the record.
We had a witness who said, I think she was very clear, that as far as she knew, at least what I recall, was that she said there was only one that it was at.
No, she didn't say that. I had asked her whether she knew, and she said she didn't know. She did not refer to this page.
She thought it was just one, and then you asked if more would be good, and she thought that would be a good idea.
My recollection is different. My recollection is that she did not know that there was one.
Okay.
It's still not rebuttal.
No.
So. What are you rebutting about?
I'm rebutting her proposition that she seemed to be under the impression that the draft EIS was or should have been in the public libraries throughout the city.
She didn't say they were in libraries throughout the city, though, did she? Is that what you're saying? Is that she said they were in libraries throughout the city?
No, she did not say that they were in libraries throughout the city. She said that as a public outreach, that would have been appropriate.
Yes. So she agreed with your proposition.
She did, but in fact, they weren't there. And I'm
so
trying
you're just
to
demonstrating that they weren't there, which isn't rebutting what she said.
All right.
And you're doing that through two pages of this are already in the record, and you could make this argument in closing without.
Well, maybe I need guidance from you, because the last page of this exhibit is how many libraries there are in the city of Seattle.
Could take judicial notice.
Or I could ask you to take judicial notice of it. It is a city website.
I think that's fine, and I'm not going to get into the relevancy. I think there's a whole question of whether the witness really was getting it at anything with the whole public process. But she was here, and the city called her, and
Okay, so that's fine. I mean,
so I can take judicial notice.
That's fine. Yeah. Then that's enough.
Okay, so I'm going to deny the exhibit, so we don't have another exhibit.
That's, I understand.
Two documents. If you want to, in your closing, mention this as an argument, you could simply indicate in a footnote judicial notice for
this. That's fine.
This. I'm just careful with the judicial notice. This is under permission on everything.
Okay.
I'm expressly giving it for that item.
All right.
Thank
and
you.
I withdraw. Actually, I'll withdraw the exhibit.
Okay.
Why don't we do it that way?
Yeah, that's fine. We'll take the sticker out and hand it back. We've got a couple other things to hand back, too. Anything else from the parties before I go on to talk about closing? Okay, so I've got this for you. This is also yours, I believe.
Oh, just the note. That
yes. And this is for Mr. Thaler. We did not use this.
Yes.
That's right. All right. And I'm sorry, anything else? Right. So both parties rested and closed their cases, as I understand it. Let's talk to closing arguments then. We've set dates for the opening brief for September 24th, and response brief will be October 10th. I would ask now for an extension from the parties for me to get a decision out. It's an extensive record, and I imagine that it will take me through October to do it, even if my schedule stays open, which I doubt it will, based on the motions and such I'm getting from other cases. So I would anticipate trying to get it out in the hopefully the first week of November. If for some reason it's delayed than that, I would contact the parties. But essentially, I need an extension on the timeline to make that decision.
City's fine with that?
Certainly, I'm fine with that.
All right, thank you. Briefly, and I'll state this because I know that we may have other parties that are not here, the representatives are not here, and they may want to hear this as well. So if this is news you don't need, that's fine. But I just want to make sure everyone understands at least some of the rules of what we'll be doing. Be sure to make sure that we're citing to specific documents and sections of the EIS to support arguments. Generalized statements are simply that. And I do look to your briefing. I very much use these as a guide through what your argument is. And so citing to those is essential. Similarly, tying explicit arguments together by referencing testimony and documents and evidence in the record by citing to those documents. Be sure to explicitly tie arguments together based on CEPA law with a strong emphasis. We've already had some of this. We get to wax first, but the Seattle Municipal Code has its own CEPA section, and I am a creature of the code. I was created by the Seattle Municipal Code, and I looked to that first. Mm-hmm. Recognizing that there is a body of law outside of that that I would certainly reference to, but I encourage parties to look to the SMC first. Make sure that you argue the issues you want a decision on. The notice of appeal from multiple parties with multiple issues is rather sprawling. If any issue is not addressed in closing, or if it's just raised and dropped, I will not decide on it. I will simply assume that you've dropped it. So much for briefing 101. I'd like to set a page limit. We've got a lot here. I won't set it low, but I'd like to have the parties let me know what they think they can do. Keeping in mind when I was trying to do this, it was clear, concise, and short, and I cringed when I went over 20 pages. Record like this obviously be more than that, and we all remember the civil case in 101 where, I think it was a medieval court, where the judge sentenced the lawyer to wear his brief around his neck around the courtroom for the too thick. So
I missed that in my case.
So what the parties need, or
could I ask a clarifying question on that, which will help,
yes,
educate us?
Yes.
Are the appellants going to coordinate and submit a single brief, or is each appellant going to submit a separate brief?
They are separate parties.
They're separate. They're separate appeals.
I can answer for them. They will be submitting separate ones.
So I think that for the city to be able to answer how much we need to know how much they intend to.
That's a very good point. You will have a higher burden there with page numbers. So we can weigh that. What do the appellants need?
I'm trying to look at it versus Friends of Ravenna County exclusively versus SCALE, which has 27-some coalition members, many of whom gave testimony in the case for their particular urban village. So it's
We'll let the representative speak for that.
Yeah, so that's a huge magnitude of difference. So I always like to start with more and hope in terms of allowed and hope that I reduce it down. So I'd rather overstate it than understate it because I'm just worried about that. And the other thing that I think might cut it down is if, let's say, Mr. Bricklin gives all the great legal arguments, whether it's possible just to refer to those and then be specific, just say C-section, blah, 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 of Mr. Scales' response so I don't need to repeat it. So that's my quandary at this point because I just don't know. But I would say probably 50 pages. And I would probably hope to get it down substantially shorter than that, but I can't know at this point.
Mr. Rickle and Mr. Zale.
Well, I have a suggestion that makes briefs easier to work with, and aside from the page number, you know, our legal briefing structure with footnotes drives me crazy. I think. And I don't know if you're willing to entertain this or even if counsel will agree with this. I think endnotes make more sense because then you can actually have them. And it's more academic and cleaner. The brief is cleaner. Then the page constraint could be lower, like a 50-page limit, say 40. The endnotes. You know, all the citations. Then the citations and the notes can be more more complete and explanatory if they're not, you know, verbose.
All right. That's right.
I'm not sure what we need. It's intimidating to think about all the issues and all the evidence that's come in. I don't know. Of course, we also have, and I'm looking out loud here, we also have the a rebuttal brief, which,
that's right.
Which should be rebuttal, but right. Still it'll give us some opportunity to discuss some things in more detail, I suppose. And I'm very well aware of the idea that, you know, less is more in these things. You know, I don't relish your situation having to read 500 pages of briefing.
If we set it at 550, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. I guess it's going to be a lot. Even half of that would be a lot.
There is a human being.
Right. Even half of that would be a lot. I know. I'm struggling with the conflicting thoughts about, on the one hand, doing justice to the numerous issues and all the evidence, on the one hand, and then, on the other hand, making this reasonable for you. So I guess I'm thinking 50 pages just because anything longer than that sounds too much. And 50 pages is probably not going to be enough, but we'll figure out a way to make it enough. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think for Fremont's perspective, my issues are smaller. I'm willing to go to 40, but I'd appreciate being able to pull the footnotes out.
So I'm not trying to restrict the capacity of a party to make their argument. So I I agree with Ms. Vandage. We need to give room for that, but set a ceiling on it. So I think 50 makes sense to me for appellants opening briefs. Keeping in mind, though, that if you can make a clear and succinct argument and I can pick up a document and read it and it's 10 to 20 pages, that's going to be a very clear, good argument that is going to get its word across, as opposed to in recognizing some of you are dealing with multiple issues.
Right.
But if somebody's got two or three issues and they max out the 50, it's simply not convincing. It's just a lot of words to read. All right.
How many of us are going to file briefs, do we think?
I don't know. Certainly West Seattle will.
And Juneau will. So there's five right here.
And I don't know about Beacon Hill and Oregon Junction and Lee Ron.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
Some of these, what I'm thinking is, in terms of setting a limit for this city that corresponds to ours, some of ours, while there's a 50-page limit, I'll bet you some of ours are not going to be anywhere close to 50.
Right, I agree.
And so I'm thinking if you give us an opportunity over the weekend to survey our side of the table, we might be able to say, while the larger briefs would have a 50-page cap, some of the others are agreeing to a 20 or 25 or 30-page cap, something less. And then we could give the city, or, add those up and give the city the corresponding amount, I suppose.
Well, let's look at the worst-case scenario. Everybody wants to use 50. What does the city need?
For our opening?
Yes.
I think we would need 75. I mean, we're going to have a huge...
I think that's fair.
All right. Regardless. All right, so you're right.
That's fine.
And I'd like the responses to be half that, 25.
Yeah, from the city standpoint, I think we probably need even more than 75 for... our response.
Actually responding to everything at that
point. Because we're clearly
at
100.
That's how you got 75, is because you're going to do your opening, and so you're... Okay.
We're going to be responding to hundreds of pages of briefs in our response, and I think we need at least 100 pages to reasonably respond to that. I'm hoping we don't use that, but I have to be cognizant of the fact we just are going to have a huge amount to respond to.
Let's... keeping that in mind, I was distracted by the stage of when they would do this, and I'd actually like to give the city less to begin with. You don't have as much work in the beginning in your opening.
Okay.
So I'd like to do 60 for that.
That's fine.
And then 100 for the response.
Okay.
$50 and $25 for the. Okay.
So the city's opening is 75?
No,
60.
60.
All right. Let me touch briefly on a few issues that I hope you'll get to. This is by no means an exhaustive list. This is a short attempt, very limited attempt to come up with a few things that I'm thinking about, and there are many, many pages more than this in my notes that I simply didn't get a chance to review before we got to today. One of the central issues is that we have come up against towards the end of the hearing, of course, is this, does the programmatic EIS and a project-level SEPA analysis adequately analyze the potential impacts associated with the upzone? Does that encompass the anticipated impacts or not?
No. Can you state that again?
Yes.
I didn't quite understand.
So we have at issue a programmatic EIS, and the anticipation that the only additional SEPA analysis will be at the project level. And does that adequately analyze the potential impacts associated with the upzone? As I understand it, at least, the part of where the appellants have been going with their argument is that there's some level needed. More, not just attacking the adequacy of the current EIS before us, but that there should be some additional phase later.
Is that, next question?
Sure.
Is that kind of related to whether the mitigation has been properly described?
No.
It's totally separate.
Mm-hmm. But that is an issue that you raised. And this is not meant to be an exhaustive list of all issues by any means. how the appellants demonstrated a reasonable likelihood of significant negative environmental impacts that are not addressed by the EIS. And that could actually overlap with that last issue or not, you know, that needs to be addressed in additional CEPA review later or that wasn't in this EIS. There's two prongs to that. And lastly, on that same thread, frankly, I have a question of whether the additional phases of CEPA, if there is this argument that additional CEPA review is necessary for this proposal, is that within my jurisdiction to review, given that the challenge is to the adequacy of this EIS and that there is no specific proposal associated with this EIS?
So you said if additional CEPA review is necessary, you mean later?
So it's the same theme, right? Yeah, it's right. Additionally, not within the context of this EIS itself. That's one of the challenges. And in fact, predominantly, I think the challenges of where we're at,
right.
Alternatives, the adequacy of the review of impacts, et cetera. But part of the theme of this has been that not enough review was done such that there may need to be later review. And I'm asking is about whether that's within my jurisdiction to address or not.
What if,
you know, if parties are going to argue that this should be supplemented or an addendum or a later phases are needed, or that the infrastructure, the theme, the layout of a programmatic EIS plus project level CEPA is that, if the argument is that's not adequate to cover the scope of impacts for this proposal, which seems to be part of the argument, is that argument within my jurisdiction?
Is it the argument? Are you asking about whether the argument's within your jurisdiction or whether you have jurisdiction to direct what the city does?
I'm not both.
Okay.
If the argument's within my jurisdiction, then I can direct on it. If I can't do anything about the need for additional CEPA review, if this EIS is adequate for its purposes, it's a programmatic EIS, but more could be or should be done, is that
well? That raises in my jurisdiction. The legal question in my mind is what would require something additional.
That's why he's asking, Mike.
Yeah. Well, that was my earlier question. And if that's not an argument of appellants, then you don't need to address that question.
Okay, so
that's certainly at least part of the theme I've heard you getting at.
Oh, all right. So, for instance, maybe this is part two, not number one on the question. But assuming it were possible, or in your decision, you decided that we weren't going to reach that issue. And we were just going to look at different sections. For example, there might be a finding, well, yes, it's adequate here, but not adequate there. That's not what you're saying with respect to the first issue. I mean, you would have jurisdiction under the proposed.
It's very clear that any challenge to the adequacy of the EIS is in my jurisdiction. That's not the question. But the suggestion has been that there's a proposal and that there are impacts associated with that may come from this proposal that go beyond what this programmatic EIS has covered.
Oh, I see. I see.
Now we know what you're
saying. I know what you're saying.
And will not be covered by project level.
I understand.
You've all said that. I mean, you all said project level is not going to get to this.
Right.
So city says, well, it's programmatic EIS, so we don't have to cover it here.
I see.
They're right.
Okay.
That's all I had. It was just because the rest of it, I think, is pretty clear in your notice of appeal, the various impacts and the adequacy of the analysis, alternatives analysis, et cetera.
Can I just ask for clarification? Mm-hmm. I thought I understood.
Yes.
If I don't, for a second, I thought the light went off. But
this is all on tape, too.
Yeah. I understand. My understanding from conversing with Ms. Newman is that there has been discussion here about the relevance of the council bill that has been introduced and whether this EIS is adequate for that. And are you
I'm not going to. Yeah, it sounds like it, and I understand why you'd ask the question.
Yeah.
But that was denied as argument, and it didn't come up again. It was suggested that we might get into that, but we actually never did. Which reminds me, we have a document that was being held for that. Exhibit 273. Ms. Newman indicated she would come back to that argument, but didn't.
Yeah, and actually she asked me to, she was uncertain. She believed that you were intending to deny its admission, but believed that that ruling never was expressly made, and asked me to request that you make the ruling on the record so that there's a record of your...
Yes. Yes. And so I'm...
You're denying it.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, we did need that closed. She had simply... We did leave it open because she said she'd come back to it, so we just did.
So the physical piece of paper, do you hand it back to us?
No.
No, she wants it in the record.
It's part of the record. It's part of the record as a denied exhibit 273.
Okay.
Which gives the opportunity for appeal.
Oh, right.
Questioning that decision. Do the parties need anything else from me? Or any additional comments, questions, et cetera?
But I wanted to thank the city council lawyers for, they've been great to work with, and your honor has been great to, you've done a great job. I think everybody's done a great job of orchestrating a very challenging proceeding, and we all know in how many different ways it was very challenging. And we're finishing on time, and
we expressed our appreciation to everyone as well.
Right, yeah. No
yes.
one threw anything at anybody. And I think we all did a very good job. And it's great lawyering with people who are responsible that way, professional. It's wonderful.
Your comments are much appreciated, Mr. Bricklin. I also would like to thank the parties for their courtesy to each other, for your courtesy to the witnesses, and for your efforts to facilitate and the hard work that you did to coordinate a challenging schedule over a four-week period. I'm well aware of the tension between the city struggling to address and the need for affordable housing and the neighborhood striving to retain their unique character and historic resources. And that it's undeniable that this in some respects, is part of a historic effort by the city, and the tensions that brings with it are not always easy to keep contained. I have a role in this to address only the adequacy of the review of the EIS and the greater debate of how to best increase affordable housing and otherwise ensure the Seattle neighborhoods remain unique and desirable places to live is something I know you will all carry on beyond this moment and this place. But I appreciate being a part of it, and I feel privileged to have had the opportunity to participate in it, and will engage in my role and execute it to the best of my ability. I may see you again if we do oral argument, but we'll leave it at that for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.